This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
We are going straight to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find NFL insider for The Athletic, Jeff Howell, joining us. Good morning, Jeff. Jeff, you with us?
Maybe Jeff is jamming out to a little Limp Bizkit because it's my way.
No, right? I was like, man, this guy, Jeff is definitely special to us if we're bringing him in with Limp Bizkit.
Now, Jeff, sir, how you doing today, Jeff?
Hey, I'm great. You're right. You caught me.
You're jamming out. I knew I was over here. I was singing the lyrics.
I thought it was
myself.
My headphones.
Sometimes Jeff, you just get lost in the melody.
Good to have you with us, Jeff. So I guess we could get to a lot of the news that's breaking around the NFL with the Jets. So Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers, both on the outs of that organization. Where do you think Devontae Adams ends up going? Is it going to be wherever Aaron Rodgers lands?
Well, I think it's natural to want to connect the two. But you look at this crop of receivers that Devontae Adams is joining in free agency. I mean, basically the next six, are either 30-plus or coming off a major injury. And you're going to have a lot of, like, T. Higgins getting tagged really changed the dynamic. Not that was unforeseeable, but it really changed the dynamic of the wide receiver market. So you've got teams like the Patriots and Raiders and Giants who are rebuilding and have cap space, certainly the Patriots and Raiders more than just about anybody, and wanted to go all in on a receiver this offseason. And now it's like, all right, well, how much realistically are you going to spend on somebody who's 30-plus when you're in the middle of a rebuild? And then conversely, how much is that guy like a Devontae Adams going to want to join a rebuild? So I think you're going to see a lot of these guys get like maybe one, maybe 2 years of guaranteed money on these contracts, and that's going to reduce the desire or the pool of desirable candidates of teams that these players are looking at. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see sort of like that Chiefs blueprint where you're going to get a contender who's going to be able to sign a Stephon Diggs, Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, and so on to a reasonable deal because these guys at this stage of their career are going to start prioritizing rings.
Jeff, let's stay on that same trajectory. Let's talk about veteran quarterbacks. And Tiff just brought up Aaron Rodgers a minute ago. I think we've got our eyes in Atlanta peeled on at least the market because of Kirk Cousins being out there. There's been a lot of talk. I mean, Stafford was a hot name for a minute, and then he wasn't. And you just wonder where some of these guys are going to end up. Talk to me a little bit about the veteran kind of free agent market and where you could see some of these musical chairs panning out.
Well, that's not ideal either. This is it's not an ideal offseason for teams that need a lot of crucial positions. And I think you saw a lot of that yesterday with only two guys getting tagged. I think that's just foreshadowing of the desirable candidates that are going to hit free agency. But you talk about quarterback. I mean, for basically, 17 weeks of the season, it looked like Sam Darnold was cruising toward a contract worth about $45 million annually, somewhere in that neighborhood. And then it all came crashing down. Now, the Minnesota offensive line didn't do him a lot of favors in those last two losses. But now you've got to wonder how much Sam Darnold's really going to command. Is he going to get a contract worth anything more than 2 years guaranteed? I mean, he'll get like a four-year deal somewhere, but just talking practical money, I don't know if teams are going to be rushing to kind of go after him when you have a more affordable option. Of course, the headaches come with Aaron Rodgers, but you could talk about Russell Wilson, you know, Kirk Cousins, if he gets released, assuming he gets released, the attractiveness to Cousins, too, is a team, let's say the Browns, wants to bring in Cousins. I mean, you're basically on the hook for $1.2 million because Atlanta's going to pay out the balance of that guaranteed money. It's tough to predict where these guys are going to wind up because the priorities with these candidates, it's just they lie in such different directions. I mean, you look at the Raiders and say, all right, it's natural to connect Pete Carroll to Russell Wilson. And then you look at Tom Brady newly in the front office. What's his appetite going to be for substandard quarterback play? I can't imagine it's going to be overly high. But the options out there aren't great. Like, there's not that one or two guys to headline this free agent class and say, okay, that's the guy, that's what they can go after, even if it costs extra money. Same with the draft class. Like, Cam Ward is certainly starting to distinguish himself as the top guy, more so than even a month ago. But Tennessee's in the driver's seat. And is Tennessee all in on him? And we've spent so much time focusing on what are the Giants and the Raiders going to do a quarterback. It's not really their call right now. It's Tennessee's call. And then from there, I mean, how much do you really love Shedeur Sanders? Is Jackson Dart really worth taking as high as, let's say, 3 or 7? So it's just there. And then, you know, the hidden element here, too, is the 26 draft class is supposed to be really good, assuming at least some of those guys declare. So if you take a guy high in this year's class and whiff, how are you? Are you going to be able to, is ownership going to afford you the ability to come back in 26 and take a player there? So, you know, you talk about the musical chairs. Trust me, I've been spinning them around in my head for months, and it's done nothing but give me a headache.
Excellent NFL writer for The Athletic, Jeff Howell, joins us. Also,
Limp Bizkit fan.
Yeah, brother in arms of Limp Bizkit fans. I'm just glad you're lost in the melody and not in Fred Durst's eyes, because that'd be scary. Jeff, look, Trey Hendrickson is a guy who is – said he wants to be paid. They're paying T. Higgins with the franchise tag, and hopefully they hope to get a deal done. Joe Burrow's getting paid. They got to pay Ja'Marr Chase. Trey wants a new deal. Can they afford to pay him? I know they have upwards of like $58 million if you count the rookie class signings. Can they pay him? And if not, what does that trade look like if they were to deal him?
And you want to talk about giving myself a headache. I'm trying to go through these Cincinnati scenarios too, and that was sort of like the biggest question of the week at the Combine, just in terms of overall question, like, what is this team doing? What are the Bengals doing? When it started to look like they were going to franchise T. Higgins, it's like, what are you guys doing? I mean, this is an organization that until the Burrow deal, which was a layup, you had to do that, they didn't necessarily give out those huge big money contracts to stars. And now you have $55 million per year in Burrow. Eventually, when you get to Ja'Marr Chase, it's going to be between $35 and $40 per year. It could be even higher if they continue to wait or if they play the tag game. And then Higgins, he's coming in at, what, 26, 27, I forget the figure. But if they get a long-term extension done, which I'm skeptical is going to happen, you know, that's going to come in at 30-plus. Last year, there were two teams, the Dolphins and the Eagles, who had two wide receivers who were on contracts making 25-plus average annual value. Now, clearly it worked out very well for the Eagles, but they're the exception. And really, they're the exception when it comes to this in general. But the Dolphins, that hasn't worked out for them. Then you look at, there's four other teams that had two receivers who made 20-plus million in average annual value. Those teams combined to win one playoff game. So aside from the Eagles, again, you're talking about five teams at 20-plus with one playoff victory. It's not a sustainable formula of success. And now you want to talk about Cincinnati. If you get these deals done the way that you're proclaiming you're going to, which, again, there's a lot of skepticism that'll happen, you're talking about two wide receivers who are going to be making 30-plus, including quite likely the highest-paid wide receiver in NFL history, on top of a $55 million quarterback, who's worth it, of course. And then now you want to spin it down to Trey Hendrickson, and what's he going to get? Like, there's just not enough money to go around. You just fired your defensive coordinator because you didn't draft well enough to supplement the defensive replacements that you needed because you knew you were going to invest so heavily in the offensive skill positions. The offensive line that you've been trying to fix for years was a culprit in a second consecutive missed playoff season. You know, you just had a dream season out of Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. T. Higgins just had a career high in touchdowns, and you missed the playoffs because you've got holes elsewhere, and now you want to set up your roster financially in an unprecedented way and hope that things magically change. It's just not a formula that is predictable to success.
Well, Jeff, let's talk about the NFL's highest paid running back now, and that would be Saquon Barkley. So I, for one, am very happy to see the resurgence of the running back and them getting the respect they deserve. But what does what Barkley did last year, him getting paid now, what does it do for some of the guys in the draft, like, say, an Ashton Jeanty?
Well, it's interesting. It's an interesting time, different sort of from last year. Now, last year I never really bought into the contractual resurgence at the running back market because – the top tier basically went from $15 to $16 million down to like $12 to $13. There's still the McCaffrey exception. But then you look at what happened to McCaffrey, and that gave executives pause for, well, yeah, I mean, he was the best running back on the planet for like, what, 3 years or something like that, and then basically couldn't produce despite the contract and despite minimal warning signs that this thing was about to go downhill as quickly as possible. But what it did do was it bumped up sort of the middle class of the running back. You got a lot more in that 8 to 12 million per year market. And I think that kind of leveled out to an extent. But then you look at the draft class this year, and I could see it both ways because there's so much attention on Jeanty and where he could go, and he could certainly be a top 10 pick. And there's not going to be a lot of argument. He's still one of the five most talented overall prospects. It's just he's going to get hurt by the positional value debate. What Barkley just did is unique. I don't think anybody can sit here and say, all right, well, Barkley just got a deal at in excess of $20 million per year with the way these new numbers have kind of changed the dynamics of that contract. I don't think you're going to be able to see guys like whatever Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, or what have you start to bring that number closer to 20. I don't think. I could be wrong with the rising cap dynamics. That certainly things are going to increase to an extent. I don't know how much. But shifting focus to the draft, it's not just Jeanty, which is sort of interesting. And I don't know if that'll help or hurt him, but I certainly think it's fascinating. Like, it's a really deep class of running backs. And you can say that sort of generally just about every year. Like, you're always going to find guys in the fifth, sixth, seventh round who are going to come in and start, maybe make a Pro Bowl, certainly make some noise. But this year, you look at the class and the speed, the athleticism, the explosion. I mean, you look at the way Ohio State managed those running backs. You look at Texas. There's been a different type of athlete coming out, and it's a really exciting year for the running back draft. So, but again, like I could see it one of two ways. You could look at Jeanty, and if you've got a team, let's say in the top 12 to 15 picks, that decides that they can really get, you know, let's say 1,500 yards from scrimmage out of him year after year after year, you know, that'd be a good pick for them. You could also look at that and say, well, there's going to be some really good running backs in round two and round three and round four that I could wait on. So I think that's a pretty fascinating element going into the draft.
Jeff, got about a minute left. Are the NFL circles and the combine and the Senior Bowl, are the Falcons expected to be aggressive in free agency this offseason?
I'm not going to blow smoke. I didn't hear them come up a whole lot. I mean, I think they were a hot topic toward the end of the season because of the Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix stuff, just in terms of the people I'm talking to. You know, can't talk to everybody. Like, maybe I talked to the wrong pocket of people. but they were a bigger topic of conversation toward the end of the season than they were. But, like, there just weren't a lot of Falcon-centric storylines that I was focused on last week, to be fair. So, again, I'm not going to lie to you and be like, oh, my goodness, guys, get ready for next week. It's going to be crazy. I mean, it could be. It just wasn't on my radar, so I apologize.
You don't want to tease us.
I wish you'd lie to me.
No. Darn it, Jeff. No, just kidding. We appreciate all the great insight you just gave to us and for coming on with us this morning, Jeff.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a great week.
You too. That was NFL Insider for The Athletic, Jeff Howe, joining us. You can follow him on X at Jeff P. Howe. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing up. Next, we have a Life of Squid.
Yeah, one team's got rid of their star player, and now they're going to raise ticket prices?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's not real, is it? We'll tell you next. Morning Shift, Sports Radio 929 The Game, and
the Odyssey app.